Well, yesterday we had an opportunity to go to one of the youth rallies that are put on by our state fellowship at Adventureland. Adventureland's outside. It rained all day yesterday. So we went to Adventureland. We had a wonderful rally, though, inside. The speaker, John Jackson, brought a great challenge from the Word to all the teenagers. For a rainy, cold, yucky day, there was no place for people to, there were places where people couldn't sit. They had to stand. They call it standing room only, something like that? Okay. But at any rate, there are people standing around, and I just had a great time there. We were able to get wet, and but it was a good time. And they even gave us some tickets for our trouble showing up, because they had to close the park at 4, and boy, was I upset about that. We had to come back at 4, couldn't stay until 8. But we had a good group, we had about 24 of us all met down there. Good time of fellowship. Our teens were introduced to something called the CB, okay? CB. As we had three vehicles going forth and back, and they were able to see the wonders of the 70s. All right. Well, we're glad you're here. I guess begin our time with prayer, and then we'll get into our message for the morning. Father, we love you. You are precious. We get so caught up with material things, gold, silver. Of course, we don't see a whole lot of that, but we see things that represent that, things that are so important to us. But Father, you are so far more precious. And forgive me for the many times that I get my eyes off that and forget that. You are the one that I need to give all of my attention, my focus, and my love to. And Lord, I pray that this morning, as undoubtedly our focus is going to be a bit upon a very important part of your creation, mothers, that we not lose sight that you indeed are the one who we honor the most. You are the one who gives us the pattern for honor, the ability to honor. And Father, I ask that you would give me the ability to bring forth your word on the subject. Society has a lot of ideas and concepts, but none of it compares to your word. So, Father, in that process, I trust that it will bring glory and honor to you. Father, again, we thank you for your love for us, sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us so that we can have hope, giving us this beautiful word that gives us exceptional insight to life. And, Father, I ask that we will honor you, and that you would bless us today as we desire to use your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, it's Mother's Day, and usually with Mother's Day we think about children. You may have received some of these things, but great truths that we learn, we could say about life from children, would be like, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. When your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. If your sister or brother hits you, don't hit her or him back, because they always catch the second person. Never ask your three-year-old brother to hold a tomato. You can't trust dogs to watch your food. Don't sneeze when someone is cutting your hair. Remember those little dust busters? Don't hold one of those and a cat at the same time. And you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. You have your Bibles. We'll be in the book of Proverbs. We'll be looking at mothers from a different perspective, not necessarily from the child's eyes, but we're looking at it from God's perspective. And the title that I chose for this morning is Honoring the One Who Gave You Life. Starting back in the book of Genesis, it says Eve's name. was to be the one who all life would come from. Sure, Adam was involved, but Eve would be the one who would be considered the one who would be bringing life into this world. So on this day that we recognize as Mother's Day, that's one of the things we can look to it as, is honoring the one who gave us life, an opportunity to be in this world. We want to look at, first of all, the command that is associated with this concept of honor. We're going to look in the book of Ephesians, a New Testament book, and I've got it for us on the slide, so you don't need to look that up, but you can jot it down for reference. In Ephesians chapter 6, and the book of Ephesians at this point, there's six chapters in Ephesians. The first three chapters give us all the indications of how we should understand our relationship with God. Who God is, who we are, how they all mesh together. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 tell us now how we should act as a result of that. And beginning of chapter 6, he starts talking about how that children and parents ought to act towards each other. And so this passage is based upon the concept of understanding who God is, understanding who we are, how we relate with each other, and how that should come out in our actions and attitudes as believers. But here's what it says, and it's actually quoting part of the commandments. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." We will not be spending a long time on this particular commandment as far as what is entailed with it, other than to express it in that it is something of very great importance to God. Sometimes we think that the element of children obeying their parents is for the benefit of the parents, or benefit to fellow shoppers as you're in the shopping line. Well, it'd be just nice if they'd obey their parents right here, right now, so I don't have them taking my stuff out of my cart or whatever. No, the purpose of having children that are obeying and respectful is to bring honor to God. That is His design, is that they might be pleasing to Him. Look what it says in there. It says, the first commandment with promise. In other words, you have the listing of the Ten Commandments, and this one says it has a cause and effect, that your days may be long. Look what it says here, that it may be well with you in this particular statement, and that God has a way of blessing those who have an attitude and a heart intention of honoring their parents. And again, we'll talk about this a little bit later in our message, but this is not something very common in society today. If you are in the habit of watching television, and if you're in the habit of watching it during the prime time, they call, you will observe some sitcoms, and if you haven't gotten sick of them already, you'll discover that many of them basically are based upon the fact that you, if they're family ones, is based upon the fact that the parents are clueless, don't know what's going on. The kids are always the ones with the good ideas, the ones that are always going to do right, and that the honoring the parents is not a cool thing to do. Respecting them is not a good thing. So in our society, we do not have that encouragement to do this. So this is a commandment from God, and that actually it is going to be well with us. And the reason I believe it's going to be well with us is because when we do things God's way, we will have a benefit from doing things God's way. The contrast is also true. When you choose to do things opposite of God's way, you can almost count on problems being developed. That if you do not do it the right way, do it God's way, there are what we call consequences. We'll look at those consequences in just a moment. But it says that you'll be well with you and live long on the earth. Well, let's look at those well, before we go to the consequences, I was just, Andy was reading through the Baptist Bulletin, and she saw an article on Mother's Day, and she showed that to me, and I thought it had some interesting comments in it. But there were three different elements that it emphasized in regard to this issue of honor that I thought would be beneficial for us to share together. And as I looked at it, I saw it came into three different areas. So before we go and look at the consequences of honor, let's look at what I understand it to be. First of all, it involves our thoughts. Second of all, our actions. And thirdly, our words. Our thoughts would be those things that how we esteem our parents or whoever we're going to be honoring. What are our attitudes? How do we think about them? Do we usually think about them as being ones that, oh, they're going to embarrass me, or something along that line. the concept of the parents are just in the way kind of ideals. Those type of thoughts. We can honor our parents by having a high esteem of them. To believe that God can use them in a great way to impact our lives. Those are thought processes that have to be established. The world doesn't want you to think that way. Another area is in our words. Honoring involves praising. The book of Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the fact that the children will rise up and call their mom blessed. And that should be something that should take place. We should be in the habit of saying praise-type words to our parents, appraising them for what they have done. That is a part of honor. The opposite of that is complaining, whining, cutting down, all those types of things. And the third element would be in our actions. And a lot of those are reciprocations or reactions, if I can say that, as to when they're trying to teach us something, to honor someone who's trying to teach us something is to listen to them. To observe what they're saying, and be willing to take it into consideration, and to be willing to obey it. The opposite of that, obviously, is not listening, or listening and not willing to do, or doing with a bad attitude and not willing to understand the intent of the person who's trying to teach it. But that's what I understood as the honor, and those are kind of bore out in that article, and I appreciated seeing that just before our message this morning, because it helped me bring some things together that it's not just a word honor, it involves three aspects of our life, our thinking, our words, and our doing. We can show honor or dishonor through these different things. But let's look at some of the consequences. So if you have your Bibles and want to look at Proverbs chapter 1, there are some consequences or results of honoring or dishonoring our parents. And Proverbs is a book that is written primarily to young people, who want to have a concept of being successful in life. And so it's a wonderful book for us to study for that, what people many times try to call common sense, which now it isn't common sense, because if you go with the common world's idea of what's sensical, it doesn't match any of this. But at one time when people lived by the Bible, it was a little more common. But look at what he says in Proverbs chapter 1, encouraging his son, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chain about your neck." So here we have diagrammed a situation where God is saying that if we listen to and obey and honor our parents, we will get an ornament on our head, and chains about our neck. Now, some of you might be thinking of chains as being those things that are going to, like a dog chain or something like that. No, it's talking about those chains that would be of beauty. Now, some individuals are very concerned about their fashion. Sometimes when you get into the junior high, senior high years, that's the most critical thing of how do I look in front of other people and what's going to make me look good in front of them. Is it going to be a certain designer label, or make sure I have a certain shoes or whatever? But God says when we choose to obey and respect, that we will have the best headgear that there is, and we will have the best adornment. And I think what he's talking about here is not that if we honor and obey our parents, they'll go out and buy us a great hat like this, or some neat chains to put around our neck. Instead, he's saying that if we decide to do it God's way, God will clothe us in such a way that we will have great grace. One of the things you can see is that, one way I see this anyways, is a young person, and this is the context mostly, but it can also apply to us as adults, a young person that truly honors and respects their parents will have a countenance, a bright countenance. One that would be a glowing type of response on their face. They would have a happy response. Because what happens when we choose not to respect and honor, we tend to, instead of having a smiley face there, we tend to have more of a frowny face. One that's dissatisfied. One that is what is confused and frustrated. And I believe that the cause and effect thing here, the consequence of honoring our parents, and specifically our mom, is that when we honor them, we have that peace from God that works from the heart
and works outward to where we are adorned in the best way that we can, because there's nothing that is more attractive on an individual than the countenance of their face. You can try to hide it with a lot of different things. You can throw clothes on it, throw a hat, put chains around your neck, or whatever you want to do, but there's nothing that will display the beauty of an individual more than the countenance of their face. What goes on right up here? And I believe that there's some implication here that when we decide to do this very thing, have this positive attitude of honoring, it will work through our lives and reflect that way. I think there's a second thing it does. It not only provides for this graceful headgear and chains about our neck, but also protection against peer pressure. The next portion of Scripture goes right into talking about the fact that if sinners entice you, just talked about how that be careful to listen to what your parents have to say, honor and respect them, and you'll get these wonderful headgear and neck gear, if you want to call it that. But it goes right in to talk about watch out for those who are going to drag you down. And what a contrast. He's talking about if you can look at your parents as being the ones who are going to help you be not just adorned right, but help you have a life that is successful, and realize it's the friends that you need to watch out for. Usually when we hit the teenage years, it's the other way around. Which, you know, we're getting to the point where we're thinking, well, my friends I can trust and my parents I got to look out for. And we get the idea that our parents got this agenda out there to make us into something or do something to us or make us unhappy or to make our lives miserable. And as a result, there's a temptation of not trusting and not honoring our parents because we're fearful of what do they have in mind. But it's interesting, the book of Proverbs puts it in the right perspective. The right perspective is that we ought to have full trust in what our parents are saying and be leery of what's going on with our friends. Leery of their counsel, because their counsel is coming from a lot less of an investment in our lives. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on, as we talk about the element of why we should honor. But when you look at what the parents have invested in the lives of a child, these are people who are concerned about what the end result is going to be. And that is essentially what one of the consequences of honoring is that when you choose to do that, you will reap the benefit of the investment that the parent is making into you. But if you choose not to honor, you waste all that's been invested into you, and you can very much risk going bankrupt. Not just financially, but emotionally, character-wise, etc. Another portion of Scripture, positive consequence, is in Proverbs 6:20 through 24. In this particular case, he's encouraging them to, again, listen. So, my son, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. And it says it'll be beneficial in three different ways. First of all, when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you're awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Now here the context is talking about if we're willing to listen to our parents, if we're willing to follow the guide of our parents, that they can be this element of helping us, whether we're walking around, whether we're going to sleep, or whether we're waking up, that they can be used as an element. Now, why is this so important? And the important thing is that what is being established here is God is saying there is benefit in parents. And this is the point, when you honor something, what you're doing is recognizing the benefit of it. We're not taking it for granted. We're not despising them. We'll talk about that as we look at the negative aspect. But when we're looking at the benefit of it, it will guide you as you walk, sleep, and wake. But also, it will do this. If you look at the context again, right after this, verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Now again, I understand that just simply helping us deal with the temptations of youthful lust, of watching out for those things that can come in and destroy our lives in that stage of our lives. And he's saying, if you will take the time to take what you're being taught and encouraged and bind them in your heart, make sure they're part of your life and be willing to respond to them. Now, those are some heavy words. Heavy words that are given to us to give us that motivation of honor. Honor is not just simply having a day where you take them out and have a meal. It's not honoring your parents. That's having a meal with your parents. Honoring is an attitude. It's a way of life. It's actions of recognizing that actually some common sense could come out of that person. That actually that person could actually help my life. That person really is there from God for a reason to help me. And one of those key areas is to keep me from making some major mistakes that could ruin my life. Well, let's look at some of that ruining of our lives. Well, before we do that, let's just look at what the final aspect of the positive is. Proverbs 23, 24, and 25 says this, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice." Here's that word, rejoice, used every time. It has a concept of be brightened. To being brightened, to have a lighting up your life. In other words, a child that is wise and not foolish and that is honoring their parents could be said as one who lights up my life. They brighten my life. They when the thoughts of their actions, their words, and their attitudes bring great cheer and light to the subject. We'll see how that contrasts between the light and the darkness as we move to some of the verses talking about the negative consequences of dishonoring. Let's look at that real quickly. Proverbs 10:1. We have one that is said here. It says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is grief of his mother." Notice the emphasis there on the mom, that a foolish son really brings the grief. It's like a cloud that comes over the mother's heart as she thinks through, what have I done wrong? Why is my son behaving this way? Or my daughter this behaving this way? Why have they forsaken the different things that we have taught them? And it becomes a heaviness, is basically what it's called. It's almost like a great heavy depression, discouragement of saying, what has happened? I had such bright, cheerful plans. So the consequences of one who chooses not to honor and respect brings grief or heaviness. The second thing in Proverbs 17 says this. Proverbs 17:25 says, "A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him." Bitterness. Just that bad taste. Discouragement again, emphasized. So essentially what you have is the grief and heaviness and the bitterness, and your end result is you have an unhappy mom. And she goes through being discouraged about this lack of respect and this lack of wisdom in her son or daughter's life. And that becomes a picture that is not too bright. Contrast to the idea of the fact that one who is wise and one desires to honor is going to be one who's going to bring a brightness to the life. But this situation is causing darkness. It's keeping things from having the light it needs to have. Another passage says this. It says, "Curse your mother and your lamp goes out." Here's another picture of it as we think of it in Proverbs 20:20. It says, when we curse our mother, have that kind of attitude of cursing her, of not doing that which is not having those words that are of praise, but instead cursing her, that our lamp will go out, and that again is not a bright picture. God is talking about if we have those types of words, those types of attitudes towards our parents, this is the kind of result we can look at, is that we can even lose our light. Proverbs 30:17, I won't go into this one, you might jot it down, but it's even more descriptive, that the son who curses his parents is loses his eye by the birds. Again, very graphic illustrations from God to remind us of this importance of honor, the importance of respecting those that God has placed over us. Now, where do some of these issues come from? What are the causes? I want to look at that just briefly. Proverbs 15:20. These are the things that can help us to work through this element of honor. It says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. First thing that causes this type of issue is the despising or taking for granted. Taking for granted of what's going on in our life. I read an article not too long ago in Reader's Digest. It was about a mother who, she had four children, and one of her children had just reviewed a video that was describing, or actually portraying, childbirth. And the son comes home and he's going, oh, that was just such a terrible thing to see. And the mother's finally thinking, oh, maybe now he'll appreciate a little bit of what pain and suffering and hardship I've gone through. And just before she could get full appreciation for it, he says, yeah, I can't believe Dad had to go through this four times. But the idea of not appreciating what Mom has done. She's always there for you. She's the one that gets to experience all the difficulties, all the hardships, and getting to the point where we just despise or take for granted that she's there and that she will do these things for us. And that's fun maybe when they're younger, but as we get older and we have that same kind of attitude that Mom should do this for me, Mom should do this for me, Mom should do this for me. Somebody told us something a long time ago when we first started having kids. And that was, look at the activity that your little one is doing and imagine him doing it 10 years down the road and assess whether you think it's cute or not. And that came in great handy to us because, you know, there's some things that little kids do are cute. They're just so cute. Well, they tell you no for that first time. Not cute when they're 11 and 12. And so we had to decide back then through the wise counsel of others that although it might have been cute right then, it is not allowable and it is not right because there's no way I'm going to teach my child that this thing that seems to be cute now is going to be cute when they're 10 or 11 years old. It's still disrespect. And it is still a violation of God's law, not mine. It's not that I have to make my kids honor me because I've got to have my esteem built up or I've got to feel big and tall and all this type of stuff. I have to ensure that my children respect me and respect my wife because God says that is one of the key responsibilities of a young person. If I, the parent, can't get that right, I've messed up a lot of things. If I can't instill in the hearts of my children that they are to honor and respect Ephesians 6:1, then I have failed. I haven't gotten to the first base of what it requires to be a parent. And when we allow our children to despise us, regardless of whether they're this tall, or all the way up here, we have failed to accomplish that what God has encouraged us to do. We need to ensure, whatever we can do to ensure, that that is not acceptable. And that there will be consequences with it. But when we allow that to go on, and individuals get that habit of despising, taking for granted, disrespecting, it leads to some of the troubles we talked about earlier. Proverbs 19:26 is another interesting passage. Read that for us. Proverbs 19:26, a wise king... Okay, let me get into the right chapter. 19:26... He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. I've never seen this in action. I've never seen a guy chasing his mom around. But the concept of chasing away the mother, I think this had something to do with some financial issues. One of the commentators has said something of respecting maybe the father in the sense of that he's the one who offers the financial, handing down the inheritance and despising the mother in a way and try to crowd her out from that. I don't know if that's exactly what was being talked about there in Proverbs. That was one of the suggestions. But I think the element here is that an attitude of pressuring the mother and pushing her out of the way and maybe even pushing away from her. I don't know. But an element of not treating her properly, an abusive type situation if you look at the context and how the dad is treated. But this concept of just pushing away comes to my mind as I think about that. A third area is in Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Now, there's a couple of things that came to my mind in regard to this. There are things that happen to us as we age. And I think even more so on our culture than anywhere else is the idea that when people get to a certain age, they start getting expendable. Companies think along those lines, don't they? Aha! Well, you're getting over 30, so we got to find a replacement for you. It'll be that way someday. Don't worry. You might be at age 50 now, but how long will it take to get down to 50? Down to 30. But that's the idea. There's someone that, well, we've got to replace them. And we get this idea that when people get to an age of a certain age, they just don't have as much to invest and to provide in society. I think our society has made a major mistake, and I think, unfortunately, some of our older people are buying into it. I have made it my practice, even as a young one, to respect those who have been further down the road than myself. To realize that experience and training and understanding are priceless. And that those things that are represented by youth are very temporal. But those things that are represented by age are very lasting. And this can be applied to the family situation when we start getting our legs, and this is probably why it starts in the junior high school age, where we think we're learning some things, we're getting somewhere, we're becoming independent, and all of a sudden our parents don't know anything because they're old. I mean, they're over 30-something, you know. And despising them and thinking they can't possibly know as much as my 14-year-old friend. It's impossible. But this despising of the of their age, and I think it goes even further onto this, where there are times when maybe mom isn't able to whip up the meals like she used to and do all these various things of getting to the point where well, you know, she's just not as useful as she used to be. Kind of an attitude. And I think God is saying that is not the attitude we should have. We should have an attitude of honor and respect and giving all that more respect as one gets older and wanting to show appreciation for everything that they've done. Not to despise their age. Not to despise that experience. Not to despise the weakening that comes with age. There is great benefit we have in listening to those who have had great experiences. I know this is changing a little bit now because of our society, but a while ago I read an article that listed some of the top experiments that have been inventions. Let me say that the top inventions and top milestone accomplishments, some of the most impacting ones, were discovered or accomplished by people over 70. Think about that. And I wish I had that list for you, because it would be a lot more impacting than me just saying it in a general way. But when I read it, it impacted me. And it gives me the opportunity to think that, hey, maybe someday I'll get it right. And I got a few more years yet, if the Lord wills, to be able to do that. A fourth item. Proverbs 29:15. encouragement here. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The lack of discipline. I think this would also be described and probably linked with all the ones above this, is the concept of a child-centered home. This is where the child is the one who makes all the decisions. Years ago, when our first child came into the world, or was in the process of that, I remember one of the ladies that we went to church with was asked the question, "So, when's the boss expected?" And I thought about that, and I said, "What do you mean, boss? You know, you're having a baby." "Oh, when's the baby?" I knew what she was saying. She was saying that that child can really come in and turn your life around, and that it can be very easy to allow that individual to run the whole house. And believe me, I've seen houses that are run that way because they're child-centered. Whatever the child wants, the child gets, and usually through manipulation. But it says here the lack of discipline. The lack of discipline is one of the things that leads to this whole dishonoring phase. And you know, this is something that we control, parents. You know, we're the ones responsible for that. And if we choose not to discipline, we open the door for disobedience and dishonor. And that's some causes that we might have. Fifth item, chapter 30, verse 11. "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." I think we're probably in that generation. And I think we can safely say that it is not the cool thing or the in thing to be one who blesses or honors his parents. I think we can say it's not the norm to hear great raves about parents other than on Mother's and Father's Day. I think it's safe to say that as a society, the idea of honoring parents goes back to an era. It's something you did back in the 50s, maybe. But you know, we've been enlightened in a sense through the 70s and all that stuff to learn better, to know better. But can I tell you that the whole commandment that we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, isn't based on society, isn't based upon trying to figure out how cause and effect. It's based upon the Word of God and the fact that God has set down the standard of what should be done, and that we ought to honor our parents. And that despite what is the popular thing to do, we need to go against the flow and honor our parents. Again, that's not just going out for a meal. It's not just doing a nice card. It's willingly listening, obeying, having a heart attitude that is correct, desiring to do that which you know which will please them. And all because God has said it is right. It is right. Now, I mentioned early in our message that the whole purpose of sharing what I've done this morning is to honor God. And as I looked at the different things that revolved around honoring mothers today, I saw some same things that went along with honoring Jesus Christ. Honoring the one who gives you life. Not just the one who gave you life, but the one who gives you life. In John 10:10, he's describing what the great shepherd does. And one of the things he says that the shepherd does, he says, "I have come that you may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." That Jesus Christ has come into the world to give us life. That if we read other portions of Scripture, we will find out without Christ, our life is indeed dead. Just like before our mothers brought us into this world, we did not exist. In this case, we, before we accept Christ as our Savior, have a great need to be born again. And Jesus said, "I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly." Now, my question is this. As we look at honoring parents, or we're looking at honoring God, how does this correlate? Well, you can do the same thing with Christ. You can fail to honor Him, and here are the same things that I saw with the mother. We cannot take for we can take for granted what He has done for us. We need to avoid taking for granted what God has done for us. How many times do we wake up and just assume that everything's going to be the way it has always been? How many times do we look at life and just think that it ought to be this way? We look at our health and we look at our wealth and we look at all of our relationship type things and we pick out what we consider norm and we say this is the way life should be. Can I remind you that we are in a sin-cursed world, that when sin came into the world, that all sorts of bad things are out there and all sorts of evil is impacting all of our lives? And can I tell you that actually norm is when things are really going wrong in a sin-cursed world? And that it's grace that helps hold them together. It's grace that gives us the good physical bodies that we have. It is grace that gives us the financial, material things that we have. It is grace that helps us survive in these relationships that we have. If we start looking at it from that perspective, that it is only with God's help that we're able to be kept together. It's only with God's help that I can have the family that I have. It's only with God's help that I can have the body of believers that I can worship with. It's only because of God's help. And if I get to the point where I fail to recognize that, and I get to the point where I take it for granted, I will have the similar responses. I will not have that crown of glory. I will not have the chains about my neck. I will not have the countenance that says, I have a Father that cares for me and I love Him and He gives so much to me. I will instead be a Christian that is discouraged, moping around, is not brightened, darkened, without hope. Another thing that we can do to honor Jesus, we can avoid chasing Him away. Avoid chasing Him away. What do I mean by that? Avoid trying to keep Him at arm's length. Avoid allowing Him to come into our life. Avoid going to Him. The Bible tells us if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. God says He has a desire that we might have a close relationship, but we may have a tendency to hold Him away and try to keep Him from getting into our life. Why? Because we may not like the areas that He might start getting involved with. We may have to start changing. We may have to start doing things that would please Him instead of things that please us. Thirdly, we need to listen and learn from Him. Just as we should not despise our parents and think that we've gone past them in knowledge, we have to have the same attitude towards God's Word. We ought to be willing to learn from Him on a regular basis, reading His Word, listening and abiding by what is being taught to us. Fourthly, in order to honor Jesus, we place ourselves under His discipline. Hebrews encourages us not to faint when we are disciplined of the Lord. That just simply means He loves us. When God brings the trials in our life and the natural consequences of our sin, and He brings those difficulties, it's not because He wants to be mean to us. It's because He loves us. He wants us to change. We must be willing to put ourselves under the discipline. Too many of us are trying to run from that stuff. Too many of us are trying to avoid the discipline of God. We look at it with great contempt. We don't think it's fair. We don't know why God's picking on us. We get that way with our parents sometimes too. Why are you picking on me? And the parents just trying to help us see what is right. That's all God wants to do with us. Fifthly, just as honoring and obeying a parent in a generation that desires to curse and disrespect parents is not popular, it's not popular to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were told long ago, 2,000 years ago, there's a narrow road, there's a wide road. We're in a society that just thinks that the majority always knows what's right. And that's why we vote on everything. Well, more people vote for it than against it, it must be right, right? You know, if the majority of the people think a certain way, it's got to be right. God told us a long time ago, before we even put together the voting booths, that there is a broad way that goes to destruction, there's a narrow way that will go to eternal life. And it's not going to be the popular thing to choose to go the way of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be the in thing. We are in a generation that despises God. We are in a generation that despises the Lord Jesus Christ. If we make a decision to place our faith and live for Him, we will be going the narrow way. We will not be going the popular route. And we can indeed show disrespect for our own Savior by not standing up for that truth. I mean, not willing to realize that He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but through Him. And we need respect and honor that He is the way, regardless of whether it's a popular thing or not.